Matthew 15, let's go to verse number 21. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." You can tell they're annoyed of her. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. But I love her response. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the word. Thank you so much for many, many passages of scripture, Lord, that are able to help us, Lord. And I pray to use tonight and the faith that this lady had, the great faith that she had, to be able to stir us up, Lord, to have great faith like her, Lord. I know it is stirring me up, Lord, just reading through this and studying for this, Lord. I pray to use it tonight. Guide me, guide my words, my thoughts, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Matthew 15, we meet a woman who, in the eyes of the Jewish society, does it say, brother, your mic is off. There we go. I got it. The glare, I couldn't read it there. Sorry. Can you hear me now? Hello, can you hear me now? There we go. Got it? All right. All right. In Matthew 15, we meet a woman who, in the eyes of the Jewish society or community, had no right to approach Christ. That's why the disciples were annoyed of her. She was a Canaanite. She was a Gentile and considered unclean. Yet, in her desperation, she came to Jesus with a plea to move heaven. Her daughter was grievously tormented by a devil, and she knew no one else could help. Everything else she had tried in life, nothing worked, and she is desperate, and she comes to Jesus. She had no covenant claim, no religious standing. All she had was her need and her faith. That's all she had. Her faith was tested, it was tried, and it seemed to be rejected, but it pressed on. Pressed on. The Gentile woman, an outsider by birth and religion, didn't ask for a seat at the table, nor did she demand a full loaf of bread. All she sought was a crumb of mercy. What a thought. Just a crumb of mercy from Jesus, she knew would be enough. A crumb that we think is invaluable. When you think of a crumb, it's something you sweep up and you throw away, or you step on and, oh my goodness, let's throw that away. She wanted a crumb of his mercy. And she believed even a crumb was enough. Charles Spurgeon said, "Faith picks up what unbelief throws away. A crumb of Christ is worth more than all the world's feast." I want to preach a message entitled this morning, tonight, "The crumbs are enough." The crumbs are enough. Let's look at this woman's faith through three stages. From her story, we learn three things about true faith. It begins with desperation, it endures through testing, and it triumphs with reward. Number one tonight, a desperate plea. It started with a desperate plea. The Bible says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter grievously vexed with the devil." She came with a plea. Have you ever gone to the Lord before with a plea? There's something in your life or in your children's life or in your spouse's life or some type of family member or friend, and you've came pleading to the Lord to answer your prayer. And there was a desperation to that prayer. It wasn't just another prayer. It was, "Lord, we need you now. Please, more than ever, please help us. Perform a miracle. Save this person. Help them." That's how this lady came to Jesus. "Have mercy on me, O Lord." Her daughter was vexed with a devil inside of her, and nothing else you can imagine. She tried everything else there was to offer, that man could offer, to try to get rid of this devil, and none of it had worked, and she was at the end of her rope.
And she heard about Jesus, and she came unqualified to come talk to Jesus, but she came nonetheless, and God saw her faith. I wrote this down. She came as an outsider. By birth, she was excluded, but by faith, she was included. Amen? But by faith, she was included. God heard her cry. She cries out with no polished words, but she just had desperation. Have mercy on me. Mercy is the sinner's only plea. She had nothing to offer. Guess what? Me and you, we have nothing to offer. Nothing to offer. But she pled for his compassion upon her and for her daughter. Her need drove her to Christ, and the need will do for us what no argument or debate will ever do. Our need for Christ in our life, man, praise the Lord for the day we got saved. I'm thankful for that day. But like I preached this morning, it didn't end there. Thank God that's where our life began, and we have him by our side. We have him living inside of us to help us, and we have a God to run to say, have mercy on me, O Lord, because we don't deserve him. We don't deserve him to answer our prayers. But this lady had mercy that the people of Israel didn't really have. She had something. God said she had great faith. Right. You know how many people in the Bible God said had great faith? Two. Right. Centurion man. Right. And this Canaanite woman. Two outsiders. Right. Two Gentiles.
Yes, amen.
And Jesus said their faith was great. Right. Oliver B. Green said, when need becomes desperate, theology becomes simple. She came with a mother's heart and a sinner's cry. You see her problem. Her daughter was grieved with this devil, vexed with this devil. No doctor could help, no neighbor, no friend, no family member. Nobody, a mother's love couldn't even fix the problem, but she came to Jesus. You think of a parent, if you're a parent here today, and you've had some scary moments with your children getting sick, and you've been worried about them, and you've brought them to the hospital maybe to get checked because you are nervous, scared. How many of you have ever had that problem before? You were nervous and didn't know what was going to happen, and you just wanted to go double check to make sure everything was okay. This mother was weary of what was going on with her daughter. Her daughter had a devil in her. It wasn't just a sickness. It was something that was tormenting their family, I imagine. Imagine if your daughter had it, or your son had a devil in them and was demon-possessed. That's what she was dealing with. It was affecting everything around them, affecting their family and their friends and their other children, her other children, affecting everything. You can hear her desperation and her cry. Have mercy on me, O Lord. A drowning man doesn't care about someone's credentials to rescue them. All they care, all they say, save me. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're qualified, unqualified. Save me. This lady just wanted to have the mercy, a crumb of mercy from Jesus. She didn't care if she qualified. She didn't care who she was. She said, I'm going to do everything I can to get to the feet of Jesus and let him know how much I believe in him and how much I need his help and how much faith I have in him. You see, friend, faith always begins when self-sufficiency ends. When we realize we can't fix our own problems and we need him, that's when God begins to do work in our life. That's when we start to see him help us in areas because we get out of the way. Sometimes we get very knowledgeable about certain things. Every one of us have different areas in our life that we are very good at, right? We could go through the room. You're good at this and you're good at that. You're good at finances. You're good at plumbing. You're good at building. You're good at farming. We could go through the list of things that people are very good at and knowledgeable at. You know, at the end of the day, you need the Lord's help. Brother Josh, you need the Lord to send the rain, right? Amen. We need the Lord's help all the time, no matter how much knowledge we have. Those of us that try to puff ourselves up and think we're something great, we better humble ourselves. This lady, she humbled herself. We'll see here in just a minute how much she humbled herself to show God how much faith she had. Real faith begins when we admit we can't fix ourselves or our loved ones, and we need his help. We need his mercy. Some people never come to Christ because they can't do that. Happens all the time. People come to this church. See, in these pews, come to church. Of all those visitors that came on Food Truck Sunday, I don't know their testimonies or stories, but I can promise you many that were here that walked out did not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and never have because they've refused to. or they have been taught a false gospel by a false religion or a false pastor somewhere along the way. And they've been told that they are saved and going to heaven. You see, Satan has his hold upon this world. And he's trying to confuse the masses right now, in particular. Right now, in particular, in America, in the world, what's going on, people are turning to Christ. I thank God for it. But if Christians don't step up to the plate and show truth and witness to people, it's for naught. I'm seeing videos of people saying, oh, I've never seen this many people at Mass before. That's not what should be happening right now. That's not turning to God. People going to the Catholic Church or these Muslims or these churches that believe to the Mormon Church, these churches are not teaching truth. While revival could be happening in America, we've got Christians sitting on the sidelines doing nothing, not even giving out a gospel tract day to day. Yes, we all have busy lives, amen? All of us have busy lives. We work, we've got our family, we've got all of our duties and responsibilities that we all got going on in our life. But God has opened up the floodgates for Christians to do something with right now. People are hungry for church. Why are we seeing people come to church right now in droves? Why? Because people are looking for hope right now. People are trying to turn to the Lord. All over, you see all over on social media, people are turning to the Lord, but I'm saddened by how many are going the wrong way. It's not their fault. They just don't know. And someone else has latched on to them. Someone else, so I've got the answers, and they don't have the answers. They've got a false gospel that they're giving them. Are you allowing this time right now to pass by? We've had in our church, thank God, around 70 people have gotten saved in 3 weeks span. Thank God for that. 70 people have gotten saved, at least. There may be more, but I know of at least 70 people. There could be more. There could have been more on Food Truck Sunday that didn't want to raise their hand in front of everybody, that they prayed the prayer that Pastor had them pray. There could have been more. There could have been more out in Brother Chad's class. There could have been more out in Brother Rogers' class out there. There could have been more. We don't know. But confirmed, we know for sure 70 people got saved. Thank God for that. But I'm telling you, that number could increase dramatically if us as Christians have a desperateness to us. This lady didn't know what you and I know. She just came as a Gentile. All she wanted was God to heal her child, and God said, great is thy faith, because of what she went through. I'm pleading with Christians right now, born again believing Christians who have the King James Bible and they have the right gospel, to be stirred up right now, to do something with this. Don't allow the Catholics to win in this. Satan would love for people to think that God, there's a revival going on in America and that there's a revival going on all around the world right now. He would love for people to think that and send the Catholics to go get them, send the Mormons, send the Jehovah's Witnesses, send all these other people to go and snatch them all up and get them all tied up into their religions, because once they get tied up, you know how hard it is to get them out of those religions? It's hard. Share the gospel right now. Have the faith that this woman had before she even knew much about Jesus. All she heard was him performing miracles, and she had great faith. So we see that she had a desperate plea. How about this? A testing silence. A testing silence. Now comes the surprising part of the story. Jesus didn't answer her. I mean, she said, have mercy on me, O Lord. And the scripture says he answered her not a word. Silence. Have you ever gone through a season in your life where you were praying and you weren't hearing from him? Ever had that? It's okay to say yes, because that happens. Like, yeah, that's possible. It's a testing time. Silence. God wants to see what kind of faith you'll have in him. Many Christians give up too soon in this moment of silence. He answered her not a word. The Lord often hides his face to draw out our faith, not to destroy it. Let me say that again. The Lord often hides his face to draw out our faith, not destroy it. When he's silent, it's not time to run for the hills. It's time to say, patient. It's time to wait on the Lord, the Bible says. He is there. He is real. He didn't answer her a word, but she didn't stop. She didn't give up. His silence was not refusal. It was examination. Would she persist? God was testing her. I won't give her an answer. We'll see if she'll be persistent. We'll see if she'll stick to this. Or we'll see if she just takes off and gets upset. Most people would be offended. Would you be offended? If you came to a pastor asking for his help, asking for him to pray for you and help you, and he just stood there and just looked at you, just kind of ignored you, what would you do? Rude. Wow, okay, I'm out of here. Forget that. Jesus did this to this woman. Silenced. Didn't give her an answer. And then he says this. The disciples got annoyed, wanted Jesus to send her away. Crazy woman, get her out of here. Oh, God, Jesus, get rid of her, please. This is she's annoying. And Jesus says the hardest words of all. First, he ignores her, doesn't say a word, just silence. But then he says this to her. It says, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. He's calling her a dog. He literally is calling her a dog. So first silence, then he calls her a dog. That's pretty low. The testing was getting real at this point. Would she still persist? I wonder where you and me, how we would respond in this situation. We're talking about a lost woman here. We're not talking about a Christian who's been saved for 20, 30, and 40, 50 years, who's seen God do great things. This is someone who just came to Jesus with a desperate plea, and now she is being tested with silence, and then God's calling her a dog. But I love her response. She humbly accepted the place of a dog. Yet she saw hope even there. Silence, being called a dog. She sees hope. And here's what she says. She says, truth, Lord. After he says, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs of the eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Woo! What a response. Man, I hope I would respond like that. I don't think I would. But man, what a response by this lady. Yes, truth, Lord, you're right. But even the dogs eat of the crumbs of the master's table. My goodness, what a response. Now herein lies the test. Would she be offended and walk away? Would she argue her worth? No. She accepted her place and she still pleaded. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Man, that stirs me up. The crumbs are enough tonight, I'm telling you. The crumbs of his power, the crumbs of his mercy, they're enough tonight. She humbled herself, took the low place, and still clung on to his mercy. The Lord's silence is not his refusal, but his mode of drawing out the earnestness of our souls. Her persistence revealed that her faith was not shallow emotion, but rooted in humble dependence. She depended upon him. Jesus is the answer and always will be the answer. That's how she treated the situation. He is the answer and he always will be the answer. No matter what happens in the moment, no matter how I feel right now, you see, when we respond with our emotions, boy, we get ourselves in trouble. Go back in your memory bank for a little bit. Think of all the times you reacted out of emotion. It usually doesn't end well. When you get mad and upset, and you take that moment to respond, usually what comes out is not the greatest thing. Usually it's moments where, oh, I got to go back. Got to say sorry to my wife. Or got to say sorry to my kids. Got to say sorry to that coworker because, I reacted in my emotion. I reacted in my anger. But this lady, she claimed no rights, no merits, just crumbs of mercy. And crumbs from the Christ's table are better than feasts from the world's table. Amen? Man. That doesn't stir you up. I don't know what will. I don't know what will stir you up. You picture the family dog in your house that comes under the table, and what do they? They go to the kids, right, where the kids are at, because the kids are the ones that drop the crumbs. And it's amazing how you look at a crumb and you're like, why do you want that little crumb? But to them, it's satisfying. To them, it's enough, right? But to us, wow, we don't want that. This lady wanted the crumbs. She wanted the crumbs. Many of us stop praying when God seems silent. We give up too easy. But real faith keeps pressing, keeps pleading, keeps trusting, even when answers are delayed. Real faith, great faith, keeps pressing on. True faith is not proud. It will take the lowest place and still cling to God's goodness. I think of us at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's many areas of service here in Blessed Hope Baptist Church that all of us get opportunities to serve. There's many things that are done at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that no one sees. No one gets to see you out there knocking on doors, getting your bus kids, letting them know about the next Sunday. No one's seeing that. But you're faithful. No one sees the ladies here cleaning the toilets and keeping this place clean every single week. No one sees these things. There's a lot that goes on. No one sees you in your quiet time preparing for your lesson every single week, getting along with God, preparing, Lord, help me be a blessing to these kids. Lord, if there's a child that's in my class this Sunday, Lord, help it. Use me, Lord. Please guide my words to make sure I'm saying the right things so that somebody gets saved. Nobody is seeing that. But when you press on, and when you have great faith, are you looking for all the fame? Is that what you're looking for? Because usually God will really humble you if that's what you're looking for. But when you just stay faithful and you just want the crumbs, it's amazing what God will do with you. When you just want the crumbs and you don't feel like you deserve a seat at the table, I don't know about you, but I don't feel like I deserve to serve the Lord. I don't deserve to be up here preaching. I don't deserve God's mercy. I don't deserve to be able to get to lead someone to the Lord. I don't deserve those things. You don't deserve those things. But for some reason, God says he wants to use us in any way that he can, and it's our job to be available to him and be faithful. I think of this lastly, a triumphant faith. She had a triumphant faith. The Bible says then in verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. At last, the silence was broken. What she had to get through to get that response from Jesus. I don't think in the silence, I don't think after he called her a dog, was she expecting that type of turnaround. You talk about a 180 turnaround. Going from silence, I'm not even going to respond to you. I'm going to ignore you. You're a dog. Great is thy faith. And heals your daughter. Whoa! What a turnaround. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. But God knows that when we stay faithful and we have the faith like this Canaanite woman have, we have great faith like her, God knows what he's got in store tomorrow. God knows the blessings that he's going to drop upon our lives tomorrow. He knows what is up ahead, but he's testing you. He's testing me. And maybe you say you're not hearing from God right now. Man, he's silent. You don't feel like God's answering your prayers. Stay faithful. Get in it. Faith does not demand. It depends. Are you depending upon him or are you demanding him? Are you demanding God to answer your prayers? Or are you just letting him know, Lord, we're depending 100% on you? Sure, I may be good at this. I may be good at this skill, or I may be good with finances, Lord, but 100% right now, we're just depending upon you. That's the faith we should have. Sometimes God delays to deepen our faith. His silence is not rejection. It is an invitation to press on. Press on. If you're in that moment right now, press forward. Just know, okay, his answer's coming. This lady didn't know in that moment that that type of answer was coming. I don't think anybody would. Nobody would. But she pressed on, and God rewarded her triumphant faith. Finally, the testing is over, and the triumph comes. Jesus himself declares, great is thy faith. But why was her faith great? Well, here's why. Because she came to the right person. She came to the right person. Before that time, I'm sure she went everywhere. Help! Help! Going to this place and paying this person, asking this person, going and asking everybody to help, and nobody helped. But she finally came to the right person. I thank God for the two people that got saved today because they came to the right person. They came to a church that told them about the right person because she asked with the right plea. Mercy was her plea. Mercy was her plea. Why was her faith great? Because she perceived through silence, rejection, and delay. Why was her faith great? Because she humbled herself and trusted God's goodness. Because she let go until she received a blessing. Israel, the people here, with all of their privileges, did not produce such faith like this lady had. Never did Jesus say to them, great is thy faith. Her faith was great, but it triumphed over discouragements. Maybe you're going through discouragements right now. You know, going to a Blessed Hope Baptist Church, going to any church in America, any church, not just Baptist churches, unfortunately, people are going to say some things that are going to hurt your feelings. Did you know it's amazing? That kind of stuff happens at work too. Not just church. Happens in your neighborhood too. I love how people will condemn a church because somebody said something unkind. Like it never happens anywhere else on planet Earth or not at any other church. The church is not perfect. Stop expecting it to be perfect because you're here, right? Because we're all here. And this is not a perfect place. But we're all striving to be perfect like him. And yes, we're going to mess up. Yes, we're going to fail. Yes, we're going to hurt each other's feelings. Yes, we're going to offend each other. But Jesus offended this lady who is not blessed and privileged like you are. You're here tonight in America with the freedoms that you have. Someone's given you the gospel and you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. Maybe you've been grown up in church your whole entire life like I have. You've been coming to church for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You've heard preaching after preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for a long time. You've been given more than this lady has. Are you easily offended? Or can you learn from this lady? Stop being offended all the time. Well, she said this, or he said that, or man, they looked at me like this. Okay. It happens. I have promised you, if we went down the aisle, every single aisle, everybody could come up with 10 things that have happened to them this year that someone did or said to them. Am I right or wrong? All of you are like, well, I know I could. Yeah, I could do it. You're all shaking your head. Because that's just how life is. Yeah. It's okay. And guess what? Not only have you been hurt, but you've hurt someone else. Right. Sometimes you're hurting people and you don't even realize you're hurting them. Yes, you said something or you gave them a look that you didn't even realize you gave them a look and they got offended by it. Man, I hope at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we're not easily offended. I hope we can learn from this Canaanite woman and not be easily offended. Her daughter was healed instantly, set free from the devil's grip. You see, a tiny key may seem insignificant, but if it fits the lock of a treasure chest, are you going to use that key? Absolutely. You don't care what size the key is. The key to this lady was her faith. Her faith was the key to God's power. Her faith was the key to God's power. Boy, she used that key and was able to see God's power and his mercy set her daughter free. Faith is not measured by how we feel, but how firmly we cling to Christ. Are you clinging to Christ tonight? Could Christ say to you and me what he said to her? Great is thy faith. Right now. Not 2 years ago or a year ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago when you were doing a lot for the Lord and your faith was right now. Could he say to you, great is thy faith? This Canaanite woman teaches us that faith sees hope in Christ when circumstances give no hope at all. She was an outsider, met with silence, even called a dog, yet she held to Jesus. And Jesus crowned her persistence with the words, great is thy faithfulness. The Canaanite woman shows us this. Faith begins with need. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. That was her need because she came to Jesus because of her daughter. Faith endures trial, silence, testing, rejection. She faced all these things. Faith triumphs with reward. Great is thy faithfulness. How many of you have been rewarded by the Lord in your life? Raise your hand up if you felt God's rewards before in your life. Don't forget those. I promise you this lady didn't forget that her daughter had those devils cast out of her. That was a great day for her. Incredible day. I will never forget what she went through. Sometimes, if we're not careful as Christians, we may handle a situation right. This lady handled this situation right, praise the Lord. And sometimes God will use you, even sometimes in spite of you and in spite of your faith. But do you learn from those moments, whether you handled them good or whether you handled them badly? Man, when God does something for you, when he doesn't do something for you, do you take time to slow down and examine yourself and ask yourself, did I handle that the right way? Okay, I did handle that. What did I do? Why did God bless that? What did I do? What decisions did I make? What did I say that helped that? What did I pray? How did I treat God in those moments? Don't let life just pass us by all the time. It's busy. I understand that life is busy and we got work and our family and kids and everything that's going on all the time. But man, we need to slow down sometimes and find out, are we doing it right? If we didn't do it right, what did we do wrong? You may say, Brother Nichols, why do we need to have great faith like this woman? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because he is worthy. He is worthy of who he is. He is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of glory and honor. He is worthy of worship. He is worthy of adoration. He is worthy of thanksgiving. He is worthy of trust. He is worthy of obedience. He is worthy of our love. He is worthy of faith. He is worthy of our loyalty. He is worthy because of what he has done. He is worthy because he created all things. He is worthy because he upholds all things by his power. He is worthy because he left heaven to come to earth. He is worthy because he humbled himself to be born again in a manger. He is worthy because he lived a sinless life. He is worthy because he fulfilled the law we could not keep. He is worthy because he bore our sins on the cross. He is worthy because he shed his blood. He is worthy because he defeated death, hell, and the grave. He is worthy because he rose again the third day. Can I get an amen? He is worthy because he ascended on high. He is worthy because he intercedes for us at the Father's right hand. He is worthy because he sent the Holy Spirit. He is worthy because he saves sinners by grace. Amen. He is worthy because he forgives and cleanses. He is worthy because he transforms lives. I can keep going. He is worthy because he never leaves nor forsakes us. He is worthy because he answers prayers. He is worthy because he heals broken hearts. He is worthy because he gives peace in the storm. He is worthy because he supplies every need. He is worthy because he comforts in sorrow. He is worthy because he keeps his promises. He is worthy because he is coming again. He is worthy because of what he will do. He is worthy because he will judge righteously. He is worthy because he will reign as King of kings and Lord of lords. He is worthy because he will make all things new. He is worthy because he will wipe away every tear. He is worthy because he will give us eternal life in his presence. And he is worthy because we will worship him forever in glory. He is worthy. I just want a crumb of that. Do you? The crumbs are enough for me. If they're enough for this Canaanite woman, they're enough for me. That's all I want from him. I just want a crumb of his mercy. I just want a crumb of his power. I want to tap into that power. That's the faith, the great faith that you and I can have if we get to the point where we humble ourselves, stop being offended all the time, and humble ourselves no matter what happens and say, I just want the crumbs. I just want the crumbs from the master's table. In January 2015, a 14-year-old boy fell through the ice in a frozen lake. And in Missouri, for about 15 minutes, he was underwater. He was submerged in that icy water, and when the rescuers finally pulled him out, he had no pulse and was not breathing at all. Doctors worked for over an hour on him with no success. And at that point, they told the mother there was nothing else they could do. They had tried everything. But his mom, Joyce, refused to accept that. She began to pray for her son and began to pray for her lifeless son in her arms. She carried her son and held on to him and cried out to God to perform a miracle and to bring life back into her son. And miraculously, a faint pulse returned. And John was rushed to the hospital. And despite being in a coma and showing no signs of brain activity, his mother, Joyce, continued to pray for her son day after day. And she believed in God's power and she had faith in him. And 16 days later, he woke up out of that coma and he was fully conscious, had no brain damage whatsoever, and made a complete recovery. That story of that young man became a powerful testimony to the power of persistence. Persistent faith and praying and asking God to perform a miracle in that life. Just as the Canaanite woman believed that even a crumb from Jesus would heal her daughter, so did this mom, Joyce, believe that a crumb of his mercy would save her son and bring life back into her son. What about you? Are you desperate enough tonight to cry for mercy? Will you press on? Will you press through when God is silent in your life? Will you humble yourself and take crumbs, trusting his goodness? Or are you too proud for that? As we've seen tonight, the Canaanite woman had every reason to stay away from Jesus. Her background, her unworthiness, even his silence. But nothing could keep her from pressing on. Nothing could stop her faith. She kept pressing on. The lesson of this passage here is clear. It's faith that clings to Christ will never be disappointed. Faith that clings to Christ will never be disappointed. I don't know about you, but I want to have that type of prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O Lord. If you're burdened, keep crying out. Don't quit. Christ delights to answer persistent faith. He wants to answer your prayer, and he's going to wait to see how persistent you're going to be. If you've been discouraged, take heart. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. Would you come to him today? I think that all of our faith gets challenged all the time. Our faith in him is constantly challenged. We go through seasons of life, and sometimes those seasons are not very good. They get tested. We're silenced. We don't hear from God. We think God's forgotten about us, and we give up. We have a bad attitude. We stop being faithful to church. We stop being faithful to God's word. We stop being faithful to our relationship with him. And things start falling through the cracks in our life because we lack having the faith that this lady had. Let's all stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this lady. Thank you for the example that she set before us, Lord, and how crumbs were enough for her. That's all she wanted, Lord. I pray that us as Christians that have been Christians for a long time, that we would get ourselves back to being humble, Lord, and just beg for your mercy, Lord. Beg for forgiveness. Lord, humble ourselves before you to be used of you and not be too proud to be used in different areas of ministry at our church, Lord, but be thankful to just have the crumbs of your power, have the crumbs of your mercy in our life.